Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Pentecost to you. You know today is the last day of Easter, so Mass will end with the deacon chanting a beautiful, solemn exit, you know, with an extra alleluia or two. But so this is the last day of Easter, kind of sad but kind of happy to move back into ordinary time. Today we would celebrate Pentecost, that the moment when the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples, upon the apostles. And we heard the recounting of that in our gospel today. Now I want to tell you a secret, and the secret is the quickest, easiest way to get to heaven, the quickest, easiest way to put heaven on earth, the quickest, easiest way to become holy, the quickest, easiest way to be happy, the quickest, easiest way to be a saint. It is to follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit. But we have to be on the lookout for Him. So that means we got to do a couple things. To follow the promptings of the Holy Spirit is talking all of the time to us. And we have to be attentive with antennas always up in the air, waiting to see what does the Holy Spirit want to tell me now, and then we do it. Now, this is particularly difficult in our own cultural kind of situation right now, because we live in a very noisy culture, and we always, with the TV always on, and now the Holy Spirit might speak through the TV on time to time, but we live in a very noisy kind of place, and it sometimes can be very hard to have those antenna up and to have listening ears to what the Holy Spirit might want to tell us. But the Holy Spirit is constantly speaking to us. According to St. Paul in Romans chapter 8, the Holy Spirit is always leading us. He's leading us to heaven. But we have to be listening. What does the Holy Spirit want me to do today? And here's the deal. Most people make a big mistake because most people think of the Holy Spirit as an it instead of as the third person of the Trinity. It's easy to think of the Father as a person, easy to think of the Son as a person. A little more tempting to not think of the Holy Spirit as a person. But folks, we're to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit to where we are constantly listening and speaking. We're constantly in communion with the Holy Spirit that animates all life. And we have to be, that's a person, not an it. A lot of people reduce the Holy Spirit to a force or to a power. Now, the Holy Spirit gives power. The Holy Spirit has a force, but the Holy Spirit is a person. Now, then people say, well, what pronoun should I use if I'm not to use it to talk about the Holy Spirit? In Greek, the word pneuma is the word for spirit. Now that's where we get pneumonia, airborne, you know, stuff. Pneuma is neuter, which means it's neither feminine nor masculine. In Latin, spiritus is masculine. We traditionally, as Catholics, would refer to the Holy Spirit in the masculine form because of our 2,000-year belief that the Holy Spirit is the spouse of Blessed Mary. Because the Holy Spirit comes into Blessed Mother and conceives in her womb Jesus. And the cool thing is, like, obviously the Holy Spirit is not a boy. It's not a girl. God is not a boy. God is not a girl. God transcends all of that. But our limited language requires us to do certain things. But, like, here's the point. The Holy Spirit wants to take up residence inside each and every one of us. And has done so in our baptism and in our confirmation and in a myriad of other ways. But the Holy Spirit takes up residence inside and wants to create, wants to sanctify the world, and wants to do what our psalm says, which is to renew the face of the earth. That's Blessed Mother, because she surrendered to the Holy Spirit, that happened. But like, the Holy Spirit wants to be inside each and every, is inside each and every one of us, creating, sanctifying, redeeming, renewing the world. Let me give you an example. An example that comes to my mind is the St. Vincent de Paul Society here in Shelby County, which is about a year old now, almost. And I was just thinking about how it all started, which was Sister Joan and I were in a car driving back from Batesville together. And we were talking about poverty. And the Holy Spirit had kind of put in my heart and had put in Sister Joan's heart, and separately, this idea of maybe one day we might have a St. Vincent de Paul Society here in Shelby County. Well, we're talking in the car, and we started talking about that. And we were attentive to the Holy Spirit. And then we heard the Holy Spirit suggesting this, and then we made the next step. We did it. And look what's happening. Not because of me or because of Sister Joan, but because of the Holy Spirit, Shelby County is being transformed in a huge way because of this St. Vincent de Paul Society. Amazing. I was thinking about our Adoration Chapel and how a lot of people thank you very much for taking an hour, and how some people were saying they were kind of on the fence about it, you know, but they decided that the Holy Spirit had convicted them to do this, and I promise you, they won't be sorry. Because what God is going to do in that chapel is going to be wild. We have to be attentive to what is the Spirit asking of me, and then we got to do it. And the result is sanctification of our family, sanctification of our church, of our city, of our whole bloody world. And what the result is holiness, and the result is renewal. The result when we do this, because listen, the Holy Spirit, we say, renew the face of the earth, and He can do anything. God can do anything, but we have to refuse Him nothing. We have to make a resolve that we will refuse God nothing when He asks something of us. When we get these promptings from the Holy Spirit, when we get these inclinations, these inklings, these movements, these impulses, we gotta do them. A lot of people say, Father, should I send this email? Or should I send this text? Should I have this courageous conversation? It's not going to be easy. The Holy Spirit directs us, leads us, as St. Paul says. And we simply have to follow wherever the Holy Spirit leads. Here's a funny story. I remember, maybe I told it to you before, but like a year and a half ago, I was driving my car and it was getting low on gas. And so I'm driving there on Broadway. And I usually go to Kroger so I can get my points, you know, but I get a lot of points when I fill up a school bus there. But anyway, for whatever reason, I had an inclination from the Holy Spirit that said, go to this other gas station, which I had never gone to before. So I pull in there, and I put my credit card in the pump, and it doesn't work. It says error reading card. I thought, I'm never coming back to this gas station. But then I go inside, and the clerk starts laughing. And she goes, she says, you're a priest? I said, well, haven't you seen one before? And I said, maybe never one so handsome. But she goes, I cannot believe that there's a priest in here. And I said, why? And she says, because I've been thinking about coming back to the church and I've asked God for a sign. And here's your sign. All because I had an inclination from the Holy Spirit to go to a different gas station for some reason, and I did it. And we just have to be attuned to what is God asking of me. What is the Holy Spirit? What is the inclination in my heart? And then we got to do it. And so here's your homework. Last week's homework, remember, was to reach out to somebody who's kind of gone from your life in some way. I hope you did it. And to watch the video of that song. But now the homework this weekend is to be on the lookout for at least one inclination from the Holy Spirit, one prompting in your heart from God this week, with some feeling in your heart and mind that you need to do something, and be on the lookout for that. Have those antenna raised real high, and then pray about whatever you might get a lot, which is good. And you get and you pray about it, and then you do it. Sometimes people come to that confessional and they say, I don't know why I'm here, but it's been a long time, but something moved me here. They had an inclination from the Spirit. By God, they followed it. And we have got to have those inclinations. Now, here's the thing. A little word of caution. The Holy Spirit isn't the only one who is trying to direct our life. There's the devil. We believe in the devil. As Catholics, as Christians, we always have. We renounce him at every baptism, at every profession of faith. The devil wants to lead us too. He wants to lead us to hell. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us to heaven. We have to know, how do I discern if this inclination is from the Holy Spirit or is it from the devil? I have an answer. One way is that God will never contradict himself. So if you wake up on a Sunday morning and you say, gee, I think I have an inclination from the Spirit not to go to Mass today. That ain't the Holy Spirit. That be the devil. You got it? The devil. God is never going to tell you to do something against the commandments, against the teachings of the church. The church is divine. It's led by the Spirit, led by crippled, horrible people, wretches as well. But the Holy Spirit works through it all, okay? The church is divine. Her teachings are divine. The Scripture's divine. And so God will never tell you to break with that. He's not going to tell me to go out and tell a whole bunch of lies. He's not going to tell a husband to go cheat on his wife. Got it? That's easy. Second thing, is this inclination from God or is it from the devil? God will never call you, the Holy Spirit will never give you an inclination to act outside of your vocation. He's not going to have me go get married tomorrow. And as the seminary rector told me when I was struggling with discernment, he says, Michael, no woman deserves you. I think he meant it in a bad way. But anyway, I'm not going to do that. And the Holy Spirit will never call a mother of a whole bunch of children and a wife to spend 24 hours every day in our adoration chapel. That's a cloistered nun. Okay? The Holy Spirit might call the woman to do 1 hour with her family in the chapel. Lovely. But you got it. It's our vocation. Number three, we can know if the Holy Spirit's calling us or the devil based on the fruits of what happens. In other words, if we follow an inspiration from the Holy Spirit, it produces peace and joy and charity and communion and humility and peace and good stuff. When we follow an inspiration from the devil, you got pride and sadness and bitterness and darkness and worry and yuck. And so when we're wrestling with, is this God or not? We look at, well, what would the fruits be of this action? Okay, that's just some thoughts that I have. But here's the deal. We just have got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, and to talk with him all of the time. And when he convicts us to do something, by George, we do it. And he gives us the power to do it. But that's what's going to save the whole world. What's going to save the church? It's what's going to save our own souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.